This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Okay, folks, welcome back to Planet Porky, life on Planet Porky in particular, okay? Now, I want to thank you all very much indeed for your responses to the recent editions of Planet Porky. Planet Porky, of course, is a place where you need to be. It's in a stratosphere where you haven't been before, and you and I are both learning things, okay? Okay, folks, I want to tell you about The Economist, okay? The Economist, world-famous magazine, but it's more than just economics and finance between its covers, okay? It covers a range of subjects from world politics and business and science and technology, certainly, but also book reviews, TV reviews, theatre, drama, art, it's all there. And I tell you, it's an intriguing read, okay? It sifts through the noise, it focuses on the essential information that tells the real story about what's happening today in the world we all live in. And let me tell you this, it's been a trusted source of intelligence for over 170 years. What a reputation that is. It's for the kind of person who never stops asking questions, like you and me, and the person who wants to know why the world is the way it is, okay? And in this week's edition, of course, a major focus on the oil situation around the world, bit of tension out in the Gulf. What are the US going to do about it? Are they moving back towards Venezuela? As I say, it's not just business and finance, it's theatres and art, but the essential issues are always at the focus of what The Economist does, okay? Now, the whole idea of telling you this is that you can get your free print copy of The Economist, and the way you get that is to text PLANET, P-L-A-N-E-T, as in Planet Porky, to 78070. Okay, let me just repeat that for you, please. For your free print copy of The Economist, just text PLANET, P-L-A-N-E-T, to 78070. Now, you will have been listening to the inane ramblings of young Jake recently in the podcast that I've done. So what I've decided to do today, folks, is dispense with young Jake for a podcast or two. Boy's off, actually, to a little festival up in Edinburgh called the Edinburgh Festival. But I've got real quality with me in the studio today, Ms. Leslie Ann Jones. Leslie Ann, delighted to see you today. Thank you very much for coming to join me. How are you?
Miguel, I'm good. Sweating, yeah, buckets,
well,
actually.
That's the problem when you get into studios and the air condition has to be sometimes turned down because of the clattering noise it makes. Wouldn't you think they'd invent an air conditioning system for a studio that didn't make noise?
Yeah, well, there's energy generated by every single thing that does us good, you know?
No, but that's absolutely true.
I think I've lost about 3 stone getting here. So if I'm 70% water, I don't exist. I am a mirage.
Well, we are making this at the height of this podcast, the height of the summer, probably in the hottest week of the summer. And like you, I really don't take to heat well. And one of the things I don't take to in heat is loitering around on pavements when the sun's burning down on your head. In London, where I sometimes live, down in Portsmouth, where I sometimes live, my home city, Chester, where I sometimes live, I get the same problem everywhere I go. People simply don't walk fast enough, and I get very irritated when people are, and a lot of them are tourists, like in my hometown of Chester, and they're just tiptoeing around, and I have to get off the pavement, walk in the road, put my life at risk to get ahead of them. Does that irritate you?
Well, it does, obviously, but there are exceptions to be made. You know,
are
they disabled? Could they be blind?
No,
they're not disabled, they're not blind.
No, they're just ambling along. Don't people realise that life is not a game? It's a 24-hour cycle of having to attack the day and get things done. Why aren't they getting things done?
So you could have lanes on the pavements for, you know, like you have swimming lanes in your swimming pool.
Not a bad idea.
So you, like, we have cycle lanes in the roads.
You mean like a motorway?
Like fast lane. You could go life in the fast lane.
Life in the fast lane. That was the Eagles, wasn't it?
Yeah, just about.
It was this week. It was Don Henley's 72nd birthday.
We're all getting there.
Did you ever come across Don Henley?
I did. I met all
You're
the Eagles.
Joking.
No. They used to stay in the Athenaeum Hotel.
Right.
Remember when the Athenaeum was like
New
rock
York.
And roll central? No, in London.
Oh, in London, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Hyde Park.
Yeah.
And I had tea with them all in there, which
really?
Sounds incongruous.
Had a bit
it?
Of a reputation, didn't he, Mr.
Yeah,
Henley?
A little bit, yeah. I managed to slap him down.
I see. Oh, you're talking about that sort of
reputation. It was a long time ago.
Reputation. But he also had a reputation for being quite keen on white powder and lots of it.
Kept it in his trousers, but in both senses of the word.
Leslie Ann, this is a family show, you know. Did we need, is that too much information already in the early minutes of this
T-M-I.
Podcast? Yeah, well, but he has a fantastic reputation for one thing, that is being a brilliant musician. I mean, you explain to me, he's the drummer, the songwriter, the singer, and a guitar player, isn't he?
He doesn't play guitar, but he's on the drums.
No, I've seen Eagles videos where he has actually been strumming a guitar.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I've seen them live so many times.
Yes.
But, you know, the
Do you like one of my cucumber wipes?
I'm liking the smell of the cucumber wipes.
Yeah. Well,
but you could have some of my spray.
Oh, well, I will.
Would you like
it?
My spray?
Thank
you very much.
In a sec, yeah.
You can use this spray in any part of the body.
Thank you very much indeed. That's what it's like, folks. This is
I'll
what we go
through. I'll take the lid off ready for you so it doesn't make a clatter.
Bring this podcast. Now, getting back to the walking and all that, do you think I'm being unreasonable in saying, you see, do you know where this came from? Let me tell you, when I was a youngster, when I was about sort of 15 or 16, I started walking very fast because, you know, there were things to do. Even in those days, I was keen to get on in life. And when I was going out with a young lady and I'd say, right, come on, we're going here. And, you know, we're having to go walk across town a bit to get to a pub to meet some mates and all that. And of course, ladies wear high heels and I don't. Or, you know, so far.
Oh, you don't anymore.
No, don't anymore. That's good. Yeah, well, you asked me today, didn't you, when we were exchanging notes this morning? Oh, it's hot today. I'll be wearing a frock. I hope you won't be wearing one. Ha, 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 ha.
I don't wear frocks. Don't be offensive.
I don't wear frocks.
You know, but why not? You could do.
What?
Spandau Ballet wore kilts.
Joking.
I mean, why not? They wear...
Porky in a frock. Oh, that would please Mr. Brazil.
Different countries. Why does it have to be trues?
Well... Trues, yeah, that's yeah. I'll wear
it's a good old-fashioned word, isn't it?
I wore trues at his daughter's wedding, actually. Tartan trues, yeah.
Donald, wear your trues.
Yeah, I love that. I love that song. I couldn't believe it was a real song until I saw this kid singing it, Hogmanay, one year, you know, when Andy Stewart was doing it, and I was about eight, you know. Let the wind blow, hey, let the wind blow, just come down from the eye of the sky.
I miss Andy Stewart.
And all the girls, when I walk by, say, Donald, where's your trues? I couldn't believe it was a real song. Anyway, let's get back to
We haven't even had a drink.
We
haven't even had a drink yet.
No, we will do after this, yeah. Rid of the old heat. So my favourite word, and this is what made me popular with young ladies when I was about 16, was they said, oh, you know, why do you have to walk so fast? And I said, because I've got places to go in life, okay? And if you want to come with me, you better keep up. Does that sound rather brutal at 16 years of age?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And also, if you're walking out with a young lady, you're supposed to be savouring the experience. Mm. You're not rushing her anywhere. She's going to think you're rushing her home to get her into bed or something.
No, well, it's
you've got to amble. You've never mastered the art of ambling, have you?
There's always that motive. I don't like ambling. Ambling's a waste of time. If you amble, right, if you're going from A to B and you amble and it takes you 11 minutes, whereas if you walk properly, it would take you 8, you have literally thrown away 3 minutes of what is a very short life, right? You have. Because in those 3 minutes when you'd got there, you could have done something else. And when you got there, there could have been somebody to where you're going who you needed to talk to, who was there. People who amble around have got no ambition, no style, no class, and most of all, no go in them.
What the hell are you like on a plane?
Aeroplanes, well...
Do you walk up and down? Because you're not getting anywhere if you do that.
Well, it's funny you should say that. I haven't flown anything except club class on an aeroplane for at least... 25 years.
Why pay
no,
more?
30
Why
years.
Pay more? It's not going to get you there
years.
Quicker. You're all on the same bus.
Often I don't pay.
Oh, okay.
Or often I pay for a particular seat and I end up in a business class seat or maybe even first class. I flew back from Australia, first class on Qantas, because the lady I was walking out with at the time was a Qantas PR.
Well, the lady you were rushing out with at
the time. Yeah, rushing out at the time. Thank you. That's a good one. Was a Qantas PR. And, I mean... This couldn't have worked out better because we went down there together, right, on the flight in business, and we got to Sydney, stayed in the Hyatt on the Rocks. Do you know Sydney at all?
I do, but I'm not inclined to go back. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It's too bloody far away.
Well, it no, that's fine. Don't worry. It is a long way away, and some would say it's worth it when you get there. I actually, a first class flight, 24 hours doesn't bother me at all. That to me is a holiday. I love it. And what happened was halfway through the trip, it's a 6-day trip, she got called back to London, so she had to go back on a Qantas plane, which left me on my own for 3 days in Sydney.
What the hell did he do?
Well, do you remember a guy called Frank Thorne in Fleet Street?
Mm-hmm.
Frank had moved out there. He'd met a barmaid in Fleet Street, you know, one of those clubs in Fleet Street, you know, the alleyways that run down the back.
I vaguely remember them, yeah. I always remember going in.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But not being carried out.
No, but
no, quite seriously, and I can't remember which one it was. It was quite a famous one. And he went in there one night, it was an Australian boy. Within 6 months, he'd thrown in his job and she was going back to Australia. He went back with her. So I spent the next 3 days with Frank, larruking around Sydney. And we went to the hotel where Michael Hutchence had hanged himself.
Oh, yeah.
And do you know what I couldn't believe? When we got in there, I was just talking to the lady behind the counter, you know, and I said, oh, you know, and I was from England, I said, and this is where Michael Hutchence, she said, yes, very tragic and all that. I said, don't suppose you'd tell me which room it was, would you? She said, yes, it was. I said, do you still use it? She said, yes, do you want to have a look at it?
Oh, there was so much of that. But that hotel's gone now, it's gone.
Oh, it has?
Yeah,
it?
Knocked it down it? And it's a block of flats now. But
but can you believe them taking me into the room and showing me the hook on the back of the door?
No, it's macabre.
Yeah.
That poor guy, I mean, he was so messed up by that whole scenario with Bob Geldof and Paula Yates and their little girl.
Yeah.
Heavenly Hirani Tiger Lily, that was her name, wasn't it?
It was horrible.
Have you seen her lately? She's stunning. She's a movie star.
Wasn't Bob Geldof very generous in adopting her as his fourth daughter? Is that right?
Yes, it is. I mean, he took her on as his own. I don't know whether he formally adopted her, but they are her half-sisters.
Yes, that's what
I
mean.
So it made
sense
for him to take her on,
Were they his half-sisters?
Yeah.
No. Oh, yes, of course. Same mother. Because of course. Yeah, sorry.
But there was a long legal battle between Michael Hutchence's mother and Bob Geldof, because Michael's mother demanded that she should have her to live with her in Australia.
Yeah, I remember that,
But then now she's dead as well, so, you know.
Yeah,
life goes on, Mike.
Anyway, talking about young ladies, daughters. Now, have you got two daughters?
Yes, I do.
And how old are they?
I don't want to say, really. 31 and 20.
Right, well, there you go. I'm thinking about the 20-year-old now, okay? Because I read my journals all week long, and I read them because the people who write them are usually more brilliant than me. Now, there's a guy called James Dellingpole.
Clever.
Very clever man, and obviously an Oxford graduate, you know, and actually, there's a side story to James. James has contracted Lyme disease, right, from walking in the country. You know what Lyme disease
is? Yes, I do. I've got a couple of friends with that.
You get it from...
It's ticks.
Come off deers, right? And it's an almost untraceable disease. Nobody knows why it happens and nobody knows how to cure it. And it's horrible, but it gives you gross fatigue and all sorts of things. But that's a side story. What James is writing about now, he's clearly doing very well because he talks about at the Leavers' Ball held to mark our daughter's last day at boarding school. That's a pretty expensive business, isn't it?
And that tells you a lot.
Go on, what's it
tell you? To the rest of the story, why have children if you're going to send them to boarding school?
I've never worked
that
out.
That's a bit hands-off, isn't it?
I've never worked that out.
So what he's about to say in this piece actually takes on a whole new relevance because we now know that his child was farmed out to boarding school.
Well, you see, is that unkind? You see, I've never had children, so I don't know. But if I had children, why would I, as you quite rightly say, ship them off for 3 months at a time and let somebody else look after them?
What does that tell you as a kid? My parents don't really want me around.
Yeah.
So they're going to send me away and just have me home at holidays.
I would excuse it if your parents were in the military and
armed
they were moving
forces,
around and
say,
all that kind of stuff.
But the armed forces are so depleted now that the boarding schools are looking for their clients elsewhere.
Well, of course they are, But anyway, so he says, at the Leavers' Ball, held to mark, only two topics of conversation among the anxious parents. So put yourself in this position, okay? 2 years ago when your 20-year-old daughter was 18, all right? How early could we decently slope off without being rebuked by our girls and the dreaded Leavers trip that had just been announced to Magaluf, well known amongst my daughter and school friends as
Shagaluf.
Absolutely.
No way, Jose.
Right?
There is no way my 18-year-old would have gone anywhere near an aircraft that was heading in that direction.
What, do you mean by her own decision or by your decision?
That wouldn't have been allowed. Sorry, absolutely not. 18, you may have come of age.
Right.
But if you're still dependent on me financially, you are not going to bring this family into disrepute by heading for a shag fest like that.
Well, it is a shag fest. And he goes on to say, it seems like every school leaver in the country now sees it as a rite of passage. if you've seen the In-Betweeners movie, have you?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
And what is that about?
Well, you know.
I haven't seen it.
Pass. Moving on.
Is it? It's all vile behaviour
by
adults.
It's disgusting.
By teenagers.
Why are we promoting the lowest common denominator?
I don't know. Anyway, he
says... Standards have really slipped.
He says, Magaluf is charmless. Garish avenues of overpriced bars and clubs with pushy greeters, expensive party cruises, grotesque drunkenness, epic hangovers, sunburns, STDs. So that's socially transmitted diseases.
Sexually, even.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, sexually transmitted diseases. So this man, Mr. Dalimpole, knows his daughter is in danger.
Hang on a minute. How does he know all this? Has he been there himself?
Well, he doesn't say, but he must have done some research on it.
Rivers of vomit.
Epic hangovers, sunburns, STDs and gallons of vomit. Quite how much, this is Mr. Dalimpole writing, quite how much Shagaloof lives up to its nickname, I don't know, and I don't want to know. So he's just, like, burying his head in the sand.
This is basically hearsay on his part. He's probably read a few items in the papers.
Anyway, here's another one for you, because he says, perhaps I'd feel differently if my boy was going. Possibly I'd expect photos of all his conquests, plus a short blog including where they were educated and their father's net worth. Now, you've also got a son about the same age, haven't you?
This is disgraceful, because this is double standards.
Why?
Let's send our sons out to shag as many young girls as possible.
Oh, really?
And what a boy, you know? But let's all hold our daughters back, because we don't want the girls to be one of those
shaggies. But surely
shaggies.
That's the way the world works, isn't it?
We're a bit more intelligent than that nowadays, aren't we?
Yeah, well, hang on. You may well be, and I may well be, but an 18-year-old girl who's just finished her A-levels, all her mates are going off to Shagaloof, she wants to go with them.
So what is she, bait?
Well, I can't answer that question. What I'm saying is that you'd be a very strong parent to say, no, you're not going. It would be like, you know, it'd be like denying your kids going out to play when they were 6 or 7 years of age, wouldn't it?
That's slightly different. I mean, they're required to get their knickers off in these situations,
well,
aren't they?
No,
and
Leslie, my duty as a parent, sorry,
but it's the truth.
Yes.
My duty as a parent is to protect my child from this kind of thing, which she is not ready for until such time as she can make discerning decisions and not be dragged along by the lowest common denominator bunch.
Well, Mr. Dalimpole goes on to say, the very last thing a father wants to imagine is buff but brainless lads with waxed bum cheeks like the ones
what?
On...
Sorry.
Waxed bum cheeks.
I don't even want to imagine that, do you?
Well, like the ones on Love Island, even so much as making eye contact with my darling piece of virginal, beautiful daughter, the perfection I sighed 18 years ago. If you could, you'd be out there with a shotgun, sitting with all your fellow dads on the doorstep of the girls' apartment of an evening, counting them all out and counting them all in, if not following them to where they were going. Or if you were really brave, you'd do what not one of the dads dared to do and refuse permission for the daughter to go.
There's the rub.
Well,
sorry, you are not going.
He then says, that was never a likely option with me, though. First, I'm a soft touch. My daughter has only to bat her eyelashes at me to get whatever she wants. Secondly, she's earned it. Unlike her two inland cruising brothers, she worked incredibly hard for her A-levels, rising at 7 a.m. every day and putting in 8 or 9 hours of solid revision before taking her exams. And thirdly, I have to admit, it may give her some of the vital life training she didn't get at school, a boarding school.
Okay, so the reward is violation. Of her virginity, of her sanity, of her...
Well, how do you know she's virginal anyway?
Well, he doesn't know that for sure. Has he asked her?
I would think
she's not going to tell the truth anyway.
I would think that's unlikely, wouldn't you?
In this day and age, probably.
Don't most children sort of start exploring sexuality around about 16?
I guess so, but I don't want to think about that either. The thought of anybody doing it, let alone your kid, isn't it?
Well, you know, I don't know. But, I mean, all I'm saying
is... There are limits, right?
All I'm saying is, I've never been a parent, right? And... there must be so many horrendous situations in which parents have to pay for their decision to become a parent. Having a child presumably is a great joy, but brings with it great stress, tension,
but
responsibilities.
That never stops. I mean, well, you know, my mum still worries about me.
Yeah.
All these years later, that never goes away, that responsibility.
No, I agree.
But you hand it on. There does come a point, I mean, when my youngest went to university.
Yeah.
The first one went, I sat in her room and cried for a week.
Really?
My son then went, and I thought, okay, I don't have to worry about him so much, because he's a 6'3" strapping rugby player, you know?
Yes, sure.
And then the youngest went, and I thought, okay, I've done this before, I can really handle it.
Really?
I didn't sit in the room, I didn't sob, but I have been up and down the M4, the M5 to Exeter and back, you know, dealing with the fallout.
Well,
so my responsibility hasn't waned because she's
not with me. Exeter University is where your daughter is, yeah?
She is, yeah.
She's finished now?
No, another year.
Oh, another year, okay.
Yeah.
So another few more trips down the A303.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, weren't you a bit of a nutter to have gone on that weekend, the busiest weekend of the...
So Friday, frantic Friday.
Yep.
So she needed her room emptying and everything brought back for the summer.
Yes.
So I'm clever, right? I leave the house at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, from?
From... East Dulwich, in southeast London.
Yeah.
And I leave at 5, there's nothing on the roads.
Yes.
I get all the way down the M4, and then there's an oil spillage at the top of the M5.
Bad news.
Then it starts. You just sit there.
Yeah.
What do? You play John Lennon's rock and roll album.
Horrendous,
but coming back was worse.
Why?
Because the pile-up on the M5 had diverted everybody with sense, they thought, to the A303, where we sat there
through
for
Wilshire.
14 hours.
Does that go past Stonehenge?
I'm afraid it does.
Yeah,
because everybody slows down to have a look. You don't know what that looks like. It's a bunch of stones.
Of course they do. Well, there you go. You're going to have to learn how to use the road properly.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Right, Leslie Ann, now then, having got into parenthood, which of course I never have, but you have, and I've explored all that, let me just divert your thinking pattern as we were talking about, you know, possible relationships that your daughter in the future might have. And let me show you this picture here, OK? Now, one of my favourite records when I was at school was Don McLean's American Pie. That fantastic line about, well, I knew that you're in love with him because I saw you dancing in the gym. You both kicked off your shoes.
And I dig those rhythm and blues.
I was a lonely teenage. Right, so I love Don McLean. And actually, in those days, I was the London bureau chief of the Birmingham Evening Mail. And so I had a multiplicity of tasks, and one of them was interviewing showbiz stars, which I'd never have got to done anywhere else. I was so lucky. I did Hazel O'Connor. These are the decadent days. These are the decadent days. Was that Hazel O'Connor?
Maybe, but I did like her, you know.
Yeah,
she was kind of the pink of her day, wasn't she really?
Yeah, but she didn't last long. But anyway... my moment came when all of a sudden I got a call from, you know, the feature editor in Birmingham saying, we've secured an interview with Don McLean. And I couldn't believe it. I thought I was only about 23 then. And the McLean song had come out only about 7 years earlier. And off I went to see him. I was terribly disappointed because I got the last interview of the day. The Birmingham Evening Mail was right down the pecking order, you know what I mean? It started right at the top with all the music magazines, then the big selling papers, The Sun, you know, and A Mirror and all that, and then the successful, you know, the broadsheets, The Times. And very last one, I'm not joking.
The regionals.
Mike Parry, Birmingham Evening Mail. But at least I was
at least
the only reason
I
got it. Yeah, at least I got it. And he actually said halfway through the interview, Mike, he said, I think you're a great guy. He said, but I'm awfully sorry. I'm just talked out. I got to go. And he just got up and walked out. But, I mean, I've got enough to write a piece. But the reason I'm mentioning this is because he is coming to this country, Don McLean's UK tour starting soon, and he's bringing with him his girlfriend. And his girlfriend is 25 years of age, and she's a Playboy model named Paris Dillon. And he's going to make
I bet
his third
she does.
Wife.
Yeah. Well, Paris she's 25. I looked like that at 25, didn't I? Do you remember?
You look better than that at 25. In fact, you look almost like that now anyway.
Come on.
So I wouldn't worry about it. But what do we think about the 50-year age gap?
Look, that is a delayed male midlife crisis, isn't it? What I think it's about is men choose much younger women if they have the means at this stage in the game.
Yes.
Because her youth and beauty is reflecting back at him his spent youth and beauty.
Yes.
So he, like Rod Stewart, you know, keeps trading in the blondes for a younger one.
Well, I don't think he will anymore, will he?
Maybe not, but, no, but there, comes a, there comes
Rod
a point.
Rod was pictured, actually, this week on a yacht in the south of France.
Yeah, he was wearing a dress and Penny was playing golf. Yeah, I mean, that's right. Role reversal for you.
That's right. She was knocking balls off the back of the yacht and he was wearing, it wasn't a dress, it was one of those, like, Middle East type things
it's,
that you wear.
It's kind of a dress.
Yeah, yeah.
But that, no, this is about this is about trying to gain back some of your lost youth. And a lot of these celebrity males do it.
No, hang on. Isn't it just that she is a very gorgeous looking woman, right?
Can he and still any, provide, as it were?
Well, I don't know, but any man at any age.
You know
age,
what I'm saying.
Of course I know what you're saying, but I tell you what, that's another interesting thing, right? I can tell from a mile away whether a woman's breasts are enhanced by plastic, okay? I can tell whether a woman's had a boob job, and she's definitely had a boob job, because the gap between her right and left breast is unnatural, okay?
I've not spent extensive time studying women's breasts, so I'll take your word for it. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah?
Mine don't look like that, got to say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's a bit pinky and perky at this stage in the game.
Well,
empty tea bags, darling.
Spaniel's ears. When you see a woman who looks like somebody's cut a football in half and stuck one half just near her right armpit and the other by her left armpit, and there's about like 6 inches in the middle of her chest where nothing meets, you know that that is...
There's a phrase for girls like her.
And what is that?
It'll sag.
What?
It'll sag.
It'll sag, right, okay. But they have them taken out then and replaced with something else.
Maybe they do.
And
they,
by the way...
They got the money, right?
By the way, the first time I put my hand on... I shouldn't be saying this, really, because people know that I'm a respectable and family man. But years ago, let's say years ago, when I was still a...
When you were young maverick dude on Fleet Street.
Yes, that's right.
I remember
young
you.
Young maverick dude on Fleet Street.
You don't look
you.
Any different.
Marauding... Oh, thank you, it's very kind of you. Marauding around Fleet Street. First time I encountered a bag of silicone on a woman's breast, I was so put off by it that from then on, in future, I had to ask any woman I was planning physical activity with whether or not she had had her breast done.
What does it feel like, may I ask?
It feels like a lump of concrete.
Okay.
And it moves around.
All right.
You know what I mean? It's terribly unnatural. And
so you're saying that men don't actually want the fake stuff?
I don't.
Fake boobs.
Fake boobs are great to look at if they're enclosed. So what I'm saying is, you know, a
keep
lingerie model.
On,
no, a lingerie model or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, a piece of lingerie will push the breast together and all that, looks voluptuous and all that. That's fine. But if you're thinking of getting involved physically, hopeless.
So is it true then that men want the real thing?
Oh, absolutely. Of course you
do. Even if more than a mouthful is a waste.
I don't really want to go there, but I mean, what I'm saying is, a pair of natural, you know,
knockers. For want of a better,
say 40 double D's or something like that.
Okay,
right?
That's huge.
Is terribly attractive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And any woman who wants to, I mean, I don't get Katie Price at all. We were talking about Katie Price earlier about the sort of terrible sort of mishmash she sort of got herself in now. But how could any bloke really find her attractive?
Well, knowing... why is she popular? Because they do find her attractive. But didn't she have them sucked out in the end? Didn't she decide they were way too big?
I think she's... look, we're going to have to stop this conversation because it's going to stop... It's going to put people off their breakfast. But I think she's had things inserted and taken out. Anyway, look, enough of that. Don McLean, have you met him?
Yes, I have.
And what was your impression?
I've always loved him. He is a very down-to-earth guy. I remember a few years ago bought for my mother surprise tickets for her birthday, big birthday,
right,
to go and see him at the Albert Hall.
Wow.
And when I called
Albert Hall, eh?
Yeah, Albert Hall. Yeah. So I called up and said, yeah, guess what? I got these tickets. And, oh, we're going to be in Spain that week with your brother.
Yes.
Oh, so I've got 4 tickets to Don McLean. What am I going to do with these?
Yes.
It's far too late to bring anybody else aboard. So I turned around to my son and I said, right, we're going to see Don McLean.
Right.
No, I'm not. I don't want to go and see him. I said, right, we can waste 2 tickets, but we're not going to waste 4.
Had he never heard American Pie?
I said, the guy who wrote American Pie.
Exactly.
I said, I know all the words. No, you don't. Yeah. He was about 12 at the time, I guess. So I dragged him. I made him go.
Mm.
And we had tickets in the front row.
Mm.
So we're sat there in the front row, and he's got his legs stretched out in front of him like mine, and his arms folded, and he's looking directly at Don McLean as if to say, go on then. Entertain me.
Really?
Entertain me.
Yeah.
And he sang a few obscure songs, and Henry was nodding off, pretending to be asleep.
Yeah.
And then he sang Vincent. And I could tell, looking at Henry, that suddenly he was awake. Yeah. He was sparked up because there had been a Doctor Who episode where Starry Night had been...
Starry Night.
Oh, and he gripped
paint
me.
Paint your palette silver grey.
We turned a corner. And from
work
then on...
out to another day.
And then he plays American Pie. And of course, and Henry's looking at me going, go on, show me you know all the words.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know all the words of our generation?
Exactly, listen to it a million times.
It's like any Beatles hit, isn't it? It's in our DNA.
Exactly, I totally agree.
Absolutely love the guy, but that's a shame that he's doing this. He could have had me.
He could have had you, indeed. Yeah, I mean,
proud single mother. He could have made an honest woman of me.
Could have made an honest woman.
Nobody else is going to.
My father, who was terribly old-fashioned, I mean, I bore everybody to death by saying my dad joined the Second World War when he was 17 in 1940. He was on the D-Day landings when he was 21, which he was. But, of course, you know, we've done a lot of celebrating about that this year. But... he walked into the house one night when I was playing Vincent, and he just heard the line, you know, "And I should have told you, Vincent, this world was never
meant for one as beautiful as you."
My father heard
that. We shouldn't sing, guys.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. My father heard that, and he said, "What was that?" I said, "What's that? Who's that?" I said, "That's Don McLean." Don McLean, I said, "He did American Pie. This is his new single, Vincent." "Yeah. Why is he writing songs about queers?" I said, "What? You know, seriously, yeah, I mean, this is like 45 years ago." And I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Talking about beautiful men." I said, "No, you don't get it, Dad. You know, this is about Vincent van Gogh."
But we didn't know that then.
Yeah.
When the song first came out, we didn't know that was about Van Gogh.
No, of course we did.
No, we didn't.
Hang on.
It was songs
called
in
Vincent. He talked about painting his palette grey and blue.
Blue and grey, actually.
Blue and grey, well done, thank you, yeah. "This world was never beautiful enough for one as beautiful as you."
I don't think I clocked...
made for one as beautiful as you.
No, I didn't clock that
well,
for
I
years.
Well, I clocked it instantly. Maybe I'm brighter than the average bear,
could
you know.
Could be.
Smarter than the average bear. Now, I tell you what I want to talk to you about, Leslie, and it's great to have you in the studio here, thank you. By the way, folks, you are listening to Planet Porky, Life on Planet Porky, and I have the wonderful Leslie Ann Jones with me today. Now, what I want to know is, what do you think about law and order in this country now? Because let me tell you this. I came across an amazing story about a very wealthy couple in Hampstead. You know Hampstead?
I do.
Yeah, I bet you had a lot of friends in Hampstead, haven't you?
Over the years. Yeah, George Michael's died, though, you know. I don't have his place to go.
No, George Michael hasn't died. He's still alive. Oh, sorry, George Michael. I was thinking of Boy George.
I slept in his boot once. We did actually have a sleepover in his boot of his car.
George lived in Hampstead, didn't he?
Yeah.
But anyway, what happened there is this couple, right, and they're very successful, very hardworking, of Indian descent, had been out for dinner with the Indian High Commission and all that. They get back in their car, and as they're just parking, a moped with two young men on the back with black helmets on and black face masks, which should have given these people a bit of a warning, circled the car, and the lady actually put the window down and said, "Can I help you?" Because they were on her property, they're on a driveway. And the guy on the back of the bike got off and went round to the driver's side where her husband was driving, opened the door. They locked all the doors, but he hit it with a pickaxe and smashed the window, opened the door, tried to drag him out, tried to get the watch off his hand, tried to get her jewellery, tried to get her away. Horrendous. And as she says in this piece, this lady, I won't identify, but this is a prominent member of the Hampstead community. I didn't think things like that happened in Britain, certainly not in a safe and secure neighbourhood like Hampstead. Now, can I tell you this, and people have heard this before, exactly the same thing happened to me. Exactly the same thing. And again, I didn't respond properly because I couldn't believe it was happening. But I got home at 4 a.m, and when I go into my block of flats, I go down an approach road to the garage and I click a button and it's a roll gate door comes up. It's an secure underground car park. And I drove in and I was manoeuvring to park and all of a sudden a moped flashed in. This is 4 o'clock in the morning, right? And there were two young kids on the moped. And I thought, this is a bit odd, you know. But your immediate thought is, perhaps they're delivering pizza. You know what I mean? Because, you know, But I was immediately on my alert, so I didn't open my door at all. I parked up, and then I got my phone out, and I made as if I was calling the police, because I thought there's something wrong here. They'd also got off their bikes and switched the door to open, right?
So they can get back out quickly.
So they get out very quickly, yeah, obviously. So they were clearly, in terms of wrong, I thought, I'm not to do here. So I'm kind of trapped in my car. So I just sat there, and then I started the engine of my car, and then I went for the gate, right? And then I stopped and came back. They knew I wasn't sort of going to get out of the car, so they left. So when they left, after about 2 or 3 minutes, I then got out the car to manually close the gate that they'd locked open. You see what I mean? They whizzed back in, got me, jumped off the car, started punching me, and demanded the key for the car. And it's a keyless car. Do you see what I mean? But I'd got out and locked it, so they couldn't get away. See, they can nick those cars, but they're no good without the key because of the electronic system won't start up without the key.
So they've done a recce. They've watched.
They followed me.
They've followed you before, worked out.
No, they picked me up on the way home, about 3 miles away in a place called Carshalton. Mm. They'd been lurking and waiting to see. They were stealing a car to order, the police think, right? Mm-hmm. And they saw my brand spanking new Merc, you know, and two doors, fastback, sport and all that. And they followed it, and they were determined to get that car. Fortunately, they weren't as brutal as these two or as clever because when I said to them, they said, give us the key. And I don't think they could have been over 17. One of them stayed on the bike as the getaway driver. The other one was trying to punch me to the ground, you know, trying to, you know, boot me and trying to rifle through my pockets. And I was kicking out at him, you know. I wasn't going to give in. You don't do, you know. And I said, just give me the key. Give me the fucking key, you know, and all that kind of stuff, yeah. And I said, what key? There isn't a key, you stupid idiot. Hey? And I completely fooled them. I said, it's a keyless car. There is no key. What? I mean, seriously. And then I said, you saw me calling the police, didn't you, in the car? I said, I can hear a police siren. Hey, what? And they fled.
Is there no CCTV in your underground car park?
No, there wasn't.
Well, there needs to be, for a start.
No. Well, no, because it was on the approach into, and then when they got in and circled round, no, nothing was picked up on it at all. And do you know what? CCTV isn't that good. It's very blurred.
Not if you've got a helmet on and exactly, a thing over your face
helmet on,
or whatever.
Thing over the face. Yeah. The bike was stolen. The bikes always are. They steal the bike first. And the bike they stole that they attacked me on, they'd stolen an hour earlier and threatened the boat with a pickaxe. Now, they didn't threaten me with a pickaxe, which is the amazing thing, because I thought they could,
that's
really.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, but anyway, that was
I'm
one of the things.
I'm sorry for you.
But anyway, what I'm saying is, it's law and order in this country, and that takes me on to the next thing I wanted to talk to you about, and that is, do you think it's right that in this day and age, policemen have now been told, unless you've got a degree, you can't join the cops?
Well, this is controversial, but haven't you joined the police force because you probably wouldn't have the nous to study for a degree?
Yeah.
Isn't that an alternative profession for somebody who's not academic?
I'd have thought so. Wouldn't you like to sort of say, you know,
nothing wrong with that, by the way, because there are all kinds of ways of making a living. Not everybody wants to go into academia.
Yeah, but I'm being told now, from the reports I read in my journals, I'm being told quite clearly it will so reduce the number of people who are eligible now to join the police. Police numbers will start dropping until they've readjusted to taking degree holders only.
So they'll reduce the force by another 4,000 bobbies. I watched a report about Stratford the other day, which is the most crime-ridden place in the whole of London.
And right, they were talking about Stratford now, East London, not Stratford-upon-Thames, Stratford-upon-Avon.
East London. And they were doing vox pops on the street,
right,
asking people, you know, why do you think there is so much knife crime, so much theft, so much mugging?
Yeah.
Every single person said, because there aren't enough police on the streets.
Yes.
So what good is it going to do to reduce that number even further?
I don't know. The police have been taken over by social workers, without a shadow of a doubt, honestly. I mean, just last week we had the scandal of the trickster, my name's Nick, you know, whose name wasn't Nick. He was a fraudster who implicated people like Edward Heath and leaders of the military and leaders of the former police forces. Bernard Hogan Howe, a northern man, talks knock, calls a spade, was taken in by some complete clown who claimed that he'd been, you know, assaulted as a child by politicians and he saw other children being murdered. If that's the standard of police we've got these days, we are in effing trouble.
Bizarrely, I had dinner with Paul Gambaccini last night.
Oh, yes?
I was talking for 2 hours about this very same subject.
This very case, yeah.
And was saying, actually, that Tom Watson's head needs to roll now.
Oh, absolutely. Tom Watson, the man who stood up in Parliament and said, action today, this has definitely happened. Some fucking idiot policeman, excuse my language, this is how angry I feel, actually stood in front of a TV camera in those days and said, we have had serious allegations and claims of sexual abuse and even murder amongst the elite classes in this country. These claims are credible and true. They hadn't investigated...
That's quite good impersonation. No, they hadn't.
They hadn't investigated 1 minute of the allegations.
But if he'd have spent less time on slimming down his body and working on his
diabetes.
Image to... I'm sorry for that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
I
right,
wouldn't
yeah.
wish it on anybody.
Yeah.
But if he'd have spent less time on that and on augmenting his image, ready to enter number 10, which I think he felt sure he was going to at some point, you know, this should never have gone as far as it did, this case.
It should never have even got further than this fat guy called Nick going into a police station saying, I've been sexually assaulted, I've been raped, I saw children being murdered. And some senior policeman of 30 years' experience said, have you got any evidence for this?
Yeah.
Before they decided to denigrate and destroy the reputations of Field Marshal Bramley, of the former late Edward Heath, of the former Lord, what's-his-name, used to be Chancellor of the Exchequer. You know the guy I'm talking about? Disgraceful.
His name's gone off the top of my head. No, but why didn't they go that very day round to this guy's house and investigate his child porn collection?
Just ask for his laptop and say... You know, we just want to make sure you haven't picked up all these stories from historical newspaper reports. And you're absolutely right. They would have found it. This guy was such a nutter. He went off to Sweden. He got compensation to start off with for assaults that never happened to him from the Criminal Compensations Board and bought himself a bleeding house in Sweden and told people he was a very rich businessman. The whole thing was an absolute fiasco.
And that is taking the premise of innocent until proven guilty to the most obscene extreme.
No, he took it. Guilty until proved innocent. Everybody else he named was guilty.
The other way around, I mean, he was the guilty one.
Exactly. Anyway, enough of that. Folks, you've been listening to Planet Porky, Life on Planet Porky, with myself and the delightful Leslie Ann Jones. And stick around for the next podcast here, folks, because you're going to love it. I can tell from a mile away whether a woman's breasts are enhanced by plastic, okay? I can tell whether a woman's had a boob job, and she's definitely had a boob job, because the gap between her right and left breast is unnatural, okay?
I've not spent extensive time studying women's breasts, so
you can
I'll take your
tell.
Word for it. Maybe.
Yeah?
Mine don't look like that, gotta say.
I mean,
it's
can...
a bit pinky and perky at this stage in the game.
Well the
empty tea bags, darling.
When you see a woman who looks like somebody's cut a football in half and stuck one half just near her right armpit and the other by her left armpit, and there's about like 6 inches in the middle of her chest where nothing meets, you know that that is...
There's a phrase for girls like her.
And what is that?
It'll sag. So is it true then that men want the real thing?
Oh, absolutely, of course you
even,
do.
Even if more than a mouthful is a waste?
I don't really want to go there, but I mean, what I'm saying is a pair of natural, you know...
Knockers, for want of a better...
Say 40 double Ds or something like that.
Oh, okay,
that,
that's
right?
Huge.
Is terribly attractive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you ever come across Don Henley?
I did.
Do you like one of my cucumber wipes?
I'm liking the smell of the cucumber wipes.
Yeah, well,
but you could have some of my spray.
Oh, well, I will.
Would you like
it.
My spray?